Consumer debt in Canada is hovering around $2 trillion, which is like an unimaginable sum. This, according to a report from Equifax Canada, but all debt is not equal. Over the last 18 months or so, there has been a shift in who owes what to whom. And it's some fascinating elements to the story here. Becky Oakes is AVP of Advanced Analytics at Equifax Canada. She's here now to take us through the latest findings. Becky, is there someone who's AVP of Remedial Analytics at Equifax and you get to do the advanced stuff? Is that how that works?
No, I pretty much do most of it. Or my team does most of it.
You do all of it, but you just wanted to add advanced analytics. Like, these are not basic analytics here. They're advanced analytics.
Well, I think it's more some elements of what we do, particularly on some of the credit scoring side. We tend to use some of the more advanced techniques. So when you start thinking, you know, AI, machine learning, that's what a lot of my team does.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to simplify this to the nth degree, which is to say the overall debt number is up something like 5%. Is this entirely because people are paying $5 trillion to buy a shack of a house off the grid, 100 kilometers from the nearest grocery store? Is it mortgage debt that's moving this higher?
Yeah, so primarily it is mortgage debt. The mortgage side, you know, we all know there's been really hot markets in terms of some of the areas of Canada, particularly places like Ontario and BC. And where we are definitely seeing the growth come through over the last 12 months is on mortgages. And that's despite the pandemic. We saw a little bit of a drop when the first wave of lockdowns hit kind of March, April time last year on the housing market. But generally, it's just been increased growth since then. And that's where a lot of this $2 trillion is coming from.
What is your hypothesis at Equifax Canada as to why that has happened? Is it just the tweak? Is the most recent push just the tweak to the stress test? Is it mostly the fact that interest rates are at ridiculously low levels?
I think interest rates definitely plays a large part in this. You know, where we are seeing those mortgage balances increase, what we're not seeing is payments increase by the same amount. So you are seeing many consumers who have existing mortgages, they're starting to renew or refinance and take advantage of these low rates to ultimately reduce their overall monthly payment, or indeed step up in terms of buy a property that's more expensive but maintain a similar level because they can take advantage of those rates. Mm. That's kind of one part of it. I think the other part is, you know, with COVID and kind of all these lockdowns, you know, the home has become so much more important to a lot of consumers. And therefore you're seeing, you know, where people aren't going out on vacation and they're not spending the money elsewhere. Actually, maybe they're focusing a bit more in terms of, okay, I need to make the area I'm spending most of my time in, my home, the best it can be. And in some cases, that's meaning that consumers are moving to new properties. And we actually are seeing in some cities, inner city areas, we're seeing consumers start to move out a little bit into some of the more suburban areas in order to do that.
On the other hand, credit card debt's down about, 10% or so? Because there's nothing to buy. There is nothing to buy. What is the new absolute dollar level? I'm still probably going to be horrified by it. Last time I looked, it was something like $3,500. What is the average amount of credit card debt that people have?
It's around $2,000. You know, and it's kind of fluctuated a little bit around that level. But as you kind of mentioned, you know, this is the lowest we've seen for 6 years. Balances have really dropped. And it is partly to do with people have nothing to buy because they've been in lockdown and they haven't been, again, going on vacation and things. But actually what we're seeing is payments are up. So we're seeing that difference between how much a consumer is paying off their credit card versus spending. That's kind of some of the big movement that we've seen. So in January, for example, for every $10 of spend on a credit card, consumers were paying off $11. So it's that difference. That's what's really contributing towards some of that reduction in debt.
Which that phenomenon does not sound sustainable.
Probably not in the long term, no. And you know, where we start to look at where this is really picking up, so where we're seeing more payments come through, it tends to be more on the younger consumer side. It tends to be more on the lower income side. So there is a theory that perhaps, you know, with some of the government support that's been in place through this period, and you know, some of the lender-driven programs, so things like deferral programs on mortgages and things like that, that's actually helped some of the population that historically has been more likely to miss payments on their credit cards, they're actually finding themselves temporarily in a better position. So that's kind of the good news. I guess the potential risks to this, or the, you know, maybe less good news, is what happens when the government support is fully pulled back? You know, are you going to find that same behavior happening, or are we going to see people turning more to their credit card and less to their debit card, as we're seeing now?
What are you noticing in terms of regional dynamics? Is it flat across the country, or do certain cities and provinces fare better or worse?
We are starting to see a bit of a, what we call a K-curve recovery come through. So what that really means is that as we are recovering from a period of stress in the economy, or some changes in the economy, you tend to see that different groups recover at different rates, and it kind of makes like a K shape. So some recover very quickly, some are flat, or maybe decline for a period of time. So when we look at this geographically, there are some areas where we see less benefits in terms of what's happened over the last 12 months to others. So Alberta is one that stands out. Now, the picture as a whole is still good. We're still seeing far fewer people miss payments on their credit commitments in the areas like Alberta. But what we do know is that even before COVID hit, that region was starting to see some financial stress. We were starting to see an increase in terms of people missing payments. Where we look through this period, their drop in delinquency levels, although it has come down, it hasn't come down as much as, say, Quebec, which has seen their delinquency levels drop by 36% in terms of non-mortgage debt. So, you know, there is some unevenness coming through. And I think, you know, when we look at this, it's not just necessarily, you know, provincial. What we're interested in is also, where are some of those main industries that are supporting consumers on the employment side? You know, if you start thinking about big areas for tourism, or hospitality, or kind of restaurants and bars and things like that, where actually they've really been in a very challenging situation for the last 12 months. And they haven't yet come out of that yet. You know, we all know, you can't go back into restaurants everywhere right now and things like that. And they actually employ an awful lot of people in this country. So that's potentially where you might see some additional stress come through.
When you use the word delinquencies, what does that actually mean?
Okay. So delinquency is basically the percentage of people, or the percentage of balances, where the payment's been missed. So typically we look at it in terms of number of days since last payment. So we might say it's been 30 days or more since they last made a payment, or 90 days or more since they last made a payment. But it's really a measure of how many consumers, or what percentage of different types of products are seeing missed payments come through.
One of the challenges of looking at the consumer debt picture is it's in the rearview mirror. Like, we can look at the data in the past. At the same time, there are some indicators that can predict the future, maybe not accurately, but there are certain leading indicators. What are the best leading indicators that can illuminate the path we're headed down, and how are those indicators faring currently? I say that because one of the anecdotes that struck me from years ago was, you're going to pay your mortgage unless there's nothing you can do, and there's no way that you can, but you may be less likely to pay your car loan. So we would see delinquencies on car loans before delinquencies on mortgages.
Yeah, absolutely. And that definitely still holds true. So interestingly, along with mortgages, telco trades, so your mobile phone bills, your TV, that's almost as high up as mortgage in terms of what people like to hold on to and make sure they keep paying. Credit cards is generally the most common early indicator. So the first place we tend to see if there's some kind of, you know, potential issue coming through in a sector with certain groups of consumers, credit card debt is typically the one that stops being paid first. The good news is, so far, we're not seeing huge increases on that. So what we did see towards the back end of last year was, when some of those deferral programs, so kind of where people were allowed to miss payments on things like their mortgages in agreement with their lender, when they stopped, we did see credit cards delinquency, or kind of the number of missed payments started to increase temporarily. That has leveled off again. So that is the good news. But credit cards in terms of missed payments, and also how much people pay. So where you see, you know, if you have a $100 balance and you're paying $50 a month on that versus $10 a month, if that starts to reduce, that also tends to be a bit of a leading indicator to show that, you know, people are unable to keep making the same degree of payments they were before that point.
Really interesting stuff. And we're going to keep watching this, obviously, for the next, well, we'll watch it forever, but the next 12 months in particular. Becky, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Becky Oakes is AVP of Advanced Analytics. I love that. I want that job title, Advanced Analytics at Equifax Canada. She was taking us through the latest findings from Equifax on consumer debt.